The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the second and third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read about David? What David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? How he entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Again Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They were watching Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then Jesus said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was aggrieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against Jesus how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God of all wisdom, we surrender. We surrender the arrogance of presuming that we know what is best. We surrender the hope of drawing you into our way of thinking. We surrender the idea that our voice matters more than others. We surrender the assumption that our perfection is of truth is truth. We surrender the privilege of sophisticated words or turns of speech. We surrender the hardness of our hearts. We surrender the closed doors of our minds. Lord, we surrender. We lay down our struggles against you unconditionally. Amen.
Amen.
I greet you all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for today comes at a time when we are celebrating and commemorating the inclusion and recognition of the LGBTQ communities. As we know, over the years, and the history tells us that many lost life and limb, and they continue to be ostracized even today. In some religious and cultural groups oppose the LGBTQ identities and relationships as contrary to their beliefs and traditions and violates the laws of the Holy Book. And over the years, members of the church who would be absent for 3 consecutive weeks would not receive the Eucharist. And these are some of the laws that people of the church has put to their congregations. And let me tell you something, I want to share something in my country. And many of the people left the church, and some pastors were excommunicated for found drinking beer. And maybe that's why you see I don't drink beer myself. And many people left the church. And here's something. We know also about the issue of Holy Communion has been quite an issue to the children. And there was a lot of debate whether the children should commune or not. And in some communities, they don't until today. And this is what the church can do. The church, I'm talking about the church today. They still put this kind of the laws. And for that example that I gave about if you miss the Holy Communion for 3 consecutive weeks, you will be disciplined for that. That's what has been happening over the years. And if you would ask, is that written in the Bible? No. No, is it written in the Bible. But the church put this kind of the laws to the congregation. Now, I consider this is one of the key texts in all the Gospels to understand Jesus' relation to his tradition, particularly to the law. And as we see, Jesus' operating principle is that the Sabbath was created for humanity, not the other way around. So the idea that humanity was made for Sabbath continues to be widely popular theology, that God created the law and humanity needs to live up to it, or else we are lost. So in that theology, God is chiefly known as holy, and humans have to achieve a certain level of holiness through following the laws or practicing purity rituals to be acceptable to God. So, if you don't do that, and people even today, they thrive so much to work so much to do much about the law, and they don't put much more about the grace. Because they are afraid that if we break this and that, we are sinning before God. So the disputation over the Sabbath is really emblematic of the whole purpose and meaning of the law in general. If that is the case, the Pharisees' words, motives, and actions are compelling depictions of what happens when someone is so bent on keeping the particularity of the law that they are willing to overlook the sheer joy of the man's withered hand being restored. So they are bent to that law. They are compelling depictions of what it means to focus on the exactitude of the letter and to miss the spirit of the law entirely. So in other words, whatever we are doing, whether in our councils, wherever in a group, let's begin to look about what is the spirit of whatever we are deciding. Does it serve humanity? Does it promote the well-being of the people? Or it doesn't? If it doesn't, let's wait a little bit and ask our questions. Ask ourselves. They are compelling depictions of why the law could either be a life-giving source of joy and instruction, or a life-demeaning source of judgment and an onerous burden. But let me explain something here before I can go any further. Jesus and his disciples did not violate the observance of the Sabbath. Oh, by the way, it's not Jesus who violated anything here. It's actually the disciples who plucked the corn, who plucked the heads of the corn in the fields. So his critics, the Pharisees, had created or qualified what working on the Sabbath would look like. We've read already in the Deuteronomy text, but again, Exodus chapter 34 says, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, in plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. So in other words, plowing and harvesting are clearly among the prescribed activities. But the scribes list reaping as the third among the 39 activities of what they classified as well. In other words, so what they did is that the law is like, let me give you an example here in our day-to-day language. So the law is like, it's chapter 3, right? We can say the law is chapter 3 in our constitutions or whatever laws or constitution that we have. So, but then they went ahead and said, okay, the law says you must rest on the Sabbath. That is the law. But they went on and crafted 39 around that and say, what does it mean to observe the Sabbath? And they crafted other 39. Oh, by the way, they use also what we call the Mishnah or the Talmud, which again, according to the Jewish, is equal to the Bible or even much higher. So we find 39 other small. So we can say, as it is, as we can, let me try to be a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, but I would say, or the law says in chapter 3, section 3:1, subsection 4a. That's where we find what the disciples has done. So what they did is not equally breaking the law, but for the Pharisees, is now the question is whether plucking a few handfuls of grain constitutes reaping. So Jesus here cites the behavior of David and his followers on a particular occasion, not as an example of violation of the Sabbath, but chiefly as the example of human need that overrides any ritual obligations. And this suggests God's intention in the original creation to prescribe rituals to serve the needs of humanity. And in this case, Mark deems it important to name what people are thinking. The Pharisees clearly are intending to trap Jesus. But I am intrigued here by Jesus' action in getting a man with withered hand to stand. I like the NIV says, he stood in the middle. So people with a deformity typically were to hide into the background of the synagogue. Oh, by the way, they were actually not allowed to worship in the temple. So you can imagine this guy in the community, he suffered shame and exclusion because of his deformity. So here we see Jesus seems to be making the point that the Sabbath is about human beings and not about serving, observing the laws. Now we must face together. Now Jesus is saying, now in putting the man in the middle, Jesus is saying we must face together our law and compassion, or lack thereof. Then Jesus question in verse 4 ceases to be merely a theological, because now there is a real human being in the middle. But I want to say something here. Some people might condemn or judge certain people who are different from them. But it's hard to do that when they face them. Yeah? So rather, they would avoid. Yes, we can walk, we can come to the communion together, we can go outside, but we'll try to avoid because we don't want to face, to make face to face. Because I hate, maybe for the color on different issues. So by making such a person stand in the middle, Jesus is saying, I am, or we are forced to face him together. So Jesus' opponents, of course, would advocate for the third way here. So they would say, let's wait until the Sabbath is ended. Or let's honor God on the Sabbath and heal this man on the next day. There is no urgency anyway. This man has lived with the condition for years. Other few hours won't make any difference whatsoever. Why are you doing it? How many years, my dear friends, have we been silent because we argue that how things were over the years? How many years have we been silent? It brings into focus how humanity tends toward dehumanizing individuals or groups, and then we rationalize our thoughts and behavior with the law. For me, it begs the questions, why really do humans dehumanize each other? Why do we gain by doing so? Why are we so afraid of love and choose coerced hearts instead? So this clash on the healing miracle throws a bright light upon the antithetical visions of God's will, to make life whole rather than to kill. And so earlier, as we have seen in chapter 2, verse 24, they had asked Jesus why disciples were doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And he replied that satisfying human hunger can be no violation of the law. It cannot be the violation of the spirit of the Sabbath. So, does the Sabbath serve to restrict human well-being, or was it intended to enhance and provide and promote it? Is the Sabbath as established humanity pro-life or anti-life? But Jesus, my dear friends, he has come to bring life, release, and freedom. What better time to do a good deed than on the Sabbath? What better place than the church? Jesus was angry that a small group of men enjoy so much power over the life of the entire community. Grieved at their hardness of the heart, grieved at the lack of compassion for a man whose infirmity has defined so much of his life. Grieved that those responsible for interpreting Torah should have failed to completely to understand God's will. And Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And we are told he stretched it out, and his hand was restored right at that place. My dear friends, I know some of you, you could have been restricted, impeached under the hand of the law. But today Jesus is saying, stretch out your hand. You are made free today. you are made free. So here we see Jesus does not require much of the man, but he does require, he stretched out his withered hand in front of the assembled crowd. And in responding, the man took a stand, threw in his lot to Jesus, refused to allow the powerful man to define his life. He refused to allow the man who ran his town to control his actions. And he stood in the middle of the crowd and stretched, and indeed he was healed. So my dear friends, as you approach Christ's table this morning, I invite you to ponder this question. What do you need to surrender to Christ so that he can be the Lord not only of the Sabbath, but the Lord of your life? Amen. Our hymn of the day from the ELW 524, What is this place?